This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
Hello, Seattle Unity. My name's Amber Darland. I'm a singer-songwriter from Bellingham, Washington. I'm super excited to be here with you today. I'm going to share a couple songs, and this first song is called There's a Calling.
Are falling like the leaves of autumn, somehow already forgotten. The tree from which we came, there's a calling like the river she's aiming, always rearranging to keep us moving along. If you think you're traveling slow, remember it takes all this darkness to grow. Seed holds all there is to know, and there's strength in letting go. We are falling like the leaves of autumn, somehow already forgotten, the tree from which we calling like the river she's aiming, always rearranging to keep us moving along. If you think you're traveling slow, remember it takes all this dark. Drawing from an infinite unraveling, oh, there's magic in meandering. Lean in and listen close. There's a longing, you can feel it in your heartbeat, and where the sky meets the open sea, always guiding us home. If you think you're traveling slow, remember it takes all this darkness to grow. A tiny seed. There's a calling like the river she's aiming, always rearranging to keep us moving along.
Good morning and welcome to Seattle Unity's online Sunday service. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Our mission statement states that we are a welcoming spiritual community, thriving in the heart of Seattle, celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys. May it be so. My name is Reverend Karen Lindvig, and I am the senior minister here at Seattle Unity. So I invite you to join with me now as we affirm our opening statement, which is, there is but one presence and one power in my life and in the universe, God the good, omnipotence. And so during this time, I'd like for you to hold this truth in your heart, but also to send a prayer, to send goodness to those that you know right now who may be ill or suffering in some way, unemployed. Just send your prayers to them right now. So may each prayer be received in the spirit that it was given. And it is for this awareness and in the name and through the power of the living spirit of truth that we say thank you and amen.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
What is a Sabbath? A Sabbath is a time out with purpose, going apart to make conscious contact with the divine. It does not require an entire day. We may pause anytime, close our eyes, and turn within to align with the spirit. We return from these short Sabbaths renewed and refreshed with creative energy and the clarity needed to deal with any stress of modern life. Creating your own Sabbath. A Sabbath is resting the mind, not necessarily the physical body. A true Sabbath occurs when we become quiet and still within. It is necessary for the good of the whole person, as well as for the right outworking of the creative process. We may observe a Sabbath anytime because it is a state of consciousness, a state of rest that we may enter when we choose. It does not require rules about when and where it takes place or how long it lasts.
And so now as we move into meditation, be comfortable in your seat, wherever that may be, inside, outside. Just feel that chair supporting you. Feel the gravity of our earth supporting you and holding you steady. Feel your feet solid on the ground. And take a few soft, deep breaths. And let the stresses of the day dissolve and just sink into the earth. Take a few deep breaths. And remember that we are children of the universe, that this planet is here to orient us and to restore us and to remind us that we are connected with everything. Feel that connection with the trees and the grass and the birds and the bees, even the ones we don't like, but they're all here, part of the divine plan. And so we can let go and let God and just melt into the safety that is right now in this moment. So we'll do about 3 minutes of a silent meditation and then we'll come back. So let your eyes gently close, take a few soft breaths, and just go in, go inside. And so now, when you're ready, gently open your eyes. Bring your awareness back to the room. Feel your feet on the floor. Feel yourself being held by your chair. And bring that connectedness with all of nature into the day, into the rest of the day and the rest of the week. Feel that safety and refreshment always available. And so it is.
With these eyes I will see, with this heart I will be, opening wide, turning inside, I am listening. With this love I will lead, with this grace I will breathe, deepening peace, fear I release, I am ready to receive. Spirit, know my name, call me home, and light these darkened days. Oh, Spirit, show your truth.
Welcome once again. So our reading this morning was about the Sabbath. Ayn read earlier that a Sabbath is a time out with purpose, going apart to make conscious contact with the divine. So during this time of sheltering in, may we create Sabbath times, because we have an opportunity as never before to create new structures. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the idea that many structures were collapsing in the need to be transformed, right? Structures that we relied on are no longer in place, like work, school, restaurants, forms of exercise, how we socialize. Even those who are going outside to work, that has changed because you got to wear masks and social distance. And those who are doing so many Zoom meetings are experiencing that kind of fatigue. But what's good about the structures that are falling away is that it gives us a chance to step back and to look at how we've been doing things. Because, you know, when you're in the middle and you're doing it, you're so busy doing it, you don't have time to step back and look. So we have this opportunity to transform some of the systems and structures that have been in place for a long time. You know, I'm hearing that education has been done the same way for how many years? And now, because we can't meet in classrooms, it's like, okay, so how can it be different? Or can we look at it and transform it in a different way? But another thing that is being transformed right now is how we perceive time. Because since we have been sheltering in because of this pandemic, time has taken on a new meaning. And I've been hear many people say that they're tired or sleeping more or just feeling like they don't have the energy to complete projects that they should be completing. And I'm wondering if it's because we've stepped out of clock time. Not totally, not 100%, but in many ways we have stepped out of clock time. I know I'm not spending hours sitting in traffic anymore since we're sheltering in, and that's added time to my life. But we have been living by the clock and may not even know it, right? Everything that we do was governed by, okay, what do we need to do now? And we also don't know how long we're going to be in this place. So I was researching the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, and I was curious about how they handled it and how long it lasted. And it began in March of 1918, and it ended in April of 1920. So 1918 to 1920, now that's 2 years, and that's going around the world, so that's not being contained just in one place. But it came in four successive waves. The first was in March, the second was in August of 1918, then it hit 1919, January to June, and then the last was January to March in 1920, which was a softer approach to it. And I look at, okay, so what did people do? People wore masks. I mean, and granted, millions of people died. Millions. People wore masks and they sheltered in. They quarantined, right? And we look 100 years later and what are we doing? We're sheltering in and wearing masks and, you know, staying home. Now, luckily, we have Zoom, as much as people might complain about it, and we have online, we have our phones, our texts, you know, Twitter, Instagram, we have all these different ways that we can stay connected, which is like such a blessing that we can stay connected in that way. So what's interesting to me is 100 years ago, people, the telephone was still new, not a lot of families had one, but it was advertised by AT&T, something like this, that people who are in quarantine are not isolated if they have a Bell telephone. Another one is the Bell service brings cheer and encouragement to the sick and is of value in countless other ways. So it was a big, actually a big advertising push for the telephone back during that period. So regardless, we are in this place right now of kind of being outside of time, and you may find yourself lost, you may find yourself free-floating, as if you are in the waiting place that is described in Dr. Seuss's book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. I want to share with you a little of that. You can get so confused that you'll start into race down long wiggled roads at a breck-necking pace and grind on for miles cross weirdish wild space, headed, I fear, for a most useless place, the waiting place, for people just waiting. Waiting for the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for wind to fly a kite, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. So it can feel like that, can it? It can feel like we're in this waiting place. Like, what are we waiting for anyway? But the truth is that sheltering in does not have to be the same as the waiting place. The Greeks had three words for time. Aion, Chronos, and Kairos. Now, Aion, A-I-O-N, meant eternity, the endless eternity. So that's one version of time. The second is Chronos, or clock time. And the last is Kairos, which is the right time. What does that mean? It means being in the now. It means listening to the muse. It means, you know, Kairos time is when you get lost in a project, right? We've all been there. We all live there. Have you ever been in a project and all of a sudden you go, God, where did the time go? I didn't know that all these hours had gone by because I was immersed in, you fill in the blank. I was immersed in writing or singing or painting or cooking or being in this wonderful place that takes me outside of time. So even though we still have Chronos time, or time by the clock that we're living in because of our Zoom meetings and working and things that we have to do, we have an opportunity to step outside of time. Now, these include experiences that can trigger the Sabbath, or Kairos is meditation, music, dance, movement, prayer. Athletes experience it when they're in the zone. Yeah, so it's those times that take us outside of this having to produce and be. It's producing and being, but it's in a different way. It's more creative. It's seizing the day. So we all have had Kairos experiences when you had a baby in the house, for instance, right? I mean, who can go by a clock then? You got to do what the baby wants. And death is another one of those experiences, because we have to step out of time in order to be present with someone who is making their transition. And there's a lot of that going on because of the COVID right now. And I'm also seeing that the veil between the two worlds seems very thin right now, because people seem to be slipping over or dying for very strange reasons right now as well. So there's a lot of grief right now and being pulled out of regular clock time. When my mother died, the funeral home had clocks everywhere, but every single clock was set at a different time, and every single clock was stopped. And I remember looking at that and feeling comforted, because it was an acknowledgement for me that I was currently outside of time, that we were all outside of time, that we were in our grief place. And of course, there's wonderful experiences. Falling in love is a Kairos experience. I think going to a baseball game is that, because all of a sudden you're outside the clock and you're, you know, the life is now about innings. It's not about, okay, time, that time doesn't exist. So for a while I can just turn off the world and just be engaged in a baseball game. Chris Duhl said this about Kairos time. He said, when you are in Kairos, all things are connected. The universe is speaking to you and through you, and you realize that you are the universe in microcosm. So it's these moments of awakening. Kairos is time spent atop the mountain when you can clearly see the horizon of your life. So last week in fellowship, we were talking about this idea of how do you have a vision for the future? And I think that's really important right now that we hold that vision for the future because we're not going to be in this place forever. And the mountaintop experience, which is basically raising one's consciousness, is a way to enter in that. I'm going to say more about that in a minute. But he goes on to say, even though we live in Chronos time, the goal is whenever possible to burst into Kairos time, an internal and magical time, an opportune moment. And so we go back to the beginning, which is creating the Sabbath, creating Sabbath moments, right? So even Jesus needed to get away from the crowds and go to the mountaintop. We see it over and over again with him where he's teaching and healing, and then all of a sudden he's like out of there and he's at the top of a mountain. Again, it's raising the consciousness, leaving the crowds, leaving our thoughts behind. I want to share with you the story of the Transfiguration because this is an experience of like awakening, right? And we'll look at this, but it's in Mark 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. So you get this idea that he's just totally transparent, translucent, transfigured. So he took with him Peter, James, and John. And Charles Fillmore says that Jesus was lifted up by Peter, James, and John, or Peter represents faith, James represents judgment, John represents love. And whenever we dwell in these virtues and try to live up to them, we are exalted in consciousness, and they go up with us to the Mount of Transfiguration. So when we're seeking to envision the future, let us take with us our love, our faith, and our judgment, right? Discernment. Take that with us into meditation, into a higher consciousness, so that we can see the horizon of our lives. Charles Fillmore goes on to say that you may not always realize this. You may think that the uplifting was just a passing exaltation, but it stamps itself upon your soul and body and marks the planting of a new idea in the upward trend of the whole human, man, woman. So when we have these experiences of Kairos outside of time, the Sabbath, connecting to the divine, and we may think that we want to even hold on to these experiences, right? Because Peter was like, let's build a monument here. Let's hold on to this. And Jesus is like, no, just let it go. But it isn't gone. So when we have these aha moments, when we see it's being stamped upon our soul, it is being stamped upon our bodies, and it's not only benefiting ourselves, but all of humanity. So even if it feels transitory in that moment, it makes a difference, not just for you, but for the whole world. So my question to you is, what brings you into Kairos time? What experiences do you have that pull you outside of regular clock hours? Is it meditation? Is it being outside? Is it dancing? Is it hanging out with your dog, right? Or your baby? This is what's called for by us right now, is to not only relook at all the structures that are collapsing around us and asking how can we transform them, but how do we use time? And what kind of time do we wish to engage in? Because the time that is spent in Kairos is life-giving. It is soul-charging. And it connects us to the divine. It connects us to the cosmos. It's an open door to other dimensions and other realities, to the point where we might find ourselves transfigured. So I invite you to create that Sabbath, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour or a day, whatever it is that you can give to it. And know that sometimes you might feel like you're in the waiting place, just kind of free flowing, and you're waiting for something to happen. But you know that you don't have to stay there, that you have a higher purpose right now. So know that we can observe a Sabbath anytime, because it's a state of consciousness. It's a state of rest that we can enter into. In closing, I want to share the words of Franz Kafka. You do not need to leave your room. Remain sitting at your table and listen. Do not even listen. Simply wait. Be quiet, still, and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice. It will roll in ecstasy at your feet. So, may we each find these opportunities to enter into the magical experience of Kairos, so that we may be replenished and healed and made anew in these times. And it is for this awareness that we are grateful. Amen.
Hi, we're Abby and John Duran, and we've been members of Seattle Unity for a number of years. We come to that time in our service where we practice the law of giving and receiving through generosity. We are grateful for your continued support of Seattle Unity. You may text to give. You may also consider setting up a recurring donation or join Amazon Smile. Please visit our website for more information.
I invite you to hold your gift in your heart and in your mind as we affirm together.
I give willingly, joyfully, and lovingly, knowing that God is the source of my supply. I give with graciousness and receive with gratitude.
We dedicate and consecrate these gifts to the will and the work and the way of the living spirit of truth. We know that each gift returns to the giver many, many fold. And so it is. Amen.
And so I invite you to join with me in our prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well. And that's the truth. Have a great week.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity, celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys.